This is one of our Peer Conversations, which is brought to you by Vintook and CliffCentral.com. And today, very special guest and his very special guest, someone who I haven't had enough time to get to know yet, but we'll all hopefully know very well by the end of this, Somizi and his husband, Mohale. They're the Mhlongo Motaungs, and they are our guests today. Somizi.
Yebo.
How are you, my friend?
I am good, and how are you?
I'm very, very good.
And it's at Randall.
Do you know people call me that sometimes? And he tells me the other day that people call him Garrett.
It's close. It's close.
How are you? Things going well?
Very well. I'm in a very good space right now.
I'm happy to hear that.
Nothing much really stresses me. I guess it goes with age.
It could also be being married.
Partly. 10% of it. It's an addition to my... understanding of how life operates, but I think with growth, I've learned to not sweat the small stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm really in a good space.
Well, I'm happy to hear that, Mohale. It's nice to meet you properly.
Thank you, Gareth.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of haven't been as much in Somizi's life as we were many years before.
Yeah.
So I didn't really get to spend a lot of time with you, but it is it's a pleasure to meet you and make your acquaintance today.
Thank you. It's great
first,
to be here.
First thing everyone on earth wants to know about this quite fresh new marriage of yours is that it must be quite something to live with Somizi. I know that the few hours I got to spend with him every week, it was first of all exhausting.
How so?
Well, it was exhausting. I mean, this was on Idols. It was exhausting. He's always on the go. He's never off. So it seems to me that you need to be someone who has a lot of energy to be able to keep up with that.
I'd say I'd like to argue that.
Yeah, please.
Because
all right.
I think I know a Somizi that a lot of people don't know. And I promise you, what he is in the house is very much different from what people see either on TV or out there. He is a completely different person. And I think before dating him, when we started talking, and literally 2 weeks after we started dating, I was thinking to myself, oh my God, how am I really going to be in a relationship with this person? Because I was judging him from what I see on TV, you know, what I see on social media. But I tell you now, he is nothing of that when we're at home.
So is he quiet sometimes?
Yeah, very much.
Do you sleep?
Very much, actually.
Yeah?
Do you sleep?
Mm? A lot. Like, people think every day in the house is,
yeah.
No, it's not. Like, we would... Especially when we're off, when we both have our day off,
yeah,
and on the same day, the only time we would probably meet is in the kitchen, and finally at night when we sleep.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time we'd meet, but the entire day we would spend it because we enjoy different shows and we love TV, both of us.
Yeah.
So we give each other that much space to watch whatever we want to watch.
Are there two TV rooms?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. That's like a lot of couples believe that two bathrooms are essential to a happy marriage. You're saying two TV rooms are essential.
Okay, I don't know about bathrooms, but we use the same bathroom. But the TV one, I think for us, it's very important.
Right.
Because he watches things that I don't like.
Like
I don't
what?
Understand. He watches How to Get Away with Murder.
Uh-oh.
Things that need you to think and be intelligent and shit like that.
No. Okay.
I want things that, even if I missed half the dialogue, I would still understand what's going on. He watches Money Heist, where they talk a lot. I don't like that. I would want to watch a cooking show or a stupid reality show, First Date, whatever.
Yeah.
First dinner, whatever, shit like that. Things that only stupid people go to do, you know. And I look at them and then I judge them because I want to feel like there's people who are more stupider than me, you know. So he would never watch those things. And I would watch that depressed channel called, that depressing channel, Mocha Love.
Oh, right.
Yes. where every depiction of black people is just dark.
Sad.
And I watch that and I go, oh, there's people who are more sadder than me, who are more miserable than me. So he wouldn't watch that.
But you have very publicly put so much of your life out there, and I'm always interested when I meet a couple who are as well known as you two are, certainly as well as you as well known as you were before you guys were married, and certainly as you continue to be. And I always wonder how much you keep away on purpose, because you have to save a little bit of that for you. Otherwise, it's all for everybody else, and you're drained the whole time.
Sure.
And even if you have those days off where you two are watching TV and you don't see each other or whatever, there's still some stuff between the two of you that has to stay away from social media. It has to stay out of the public sphere. Mm-hmm. And I'm not asking you to share that stuff now, because I don't think it's anyone's business. Is there sacred stuff, the sacred time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most definitely. I mean, there's a me that other people think they know, which only Sumizi knows. And, you know, there are little things which I would know about him, which other people don't know. And that has led us to actually being content in our relationship, because we know exactly what we're about. We know exactly how we do our things and so forth. And what other people see from the outside doesn't really matter to us, because we do not base whatever that we do or the foundation of a relationship on social media or what other people do. I mean, we do post where we are, what we do, what we're eating, but there's just those little things which don't know, which people don't know, that bring us together.
And have you ever had an argument about something together, where one of you was happy to share something and the other one wasn't?
Mm. Yes, we have.
We have.
Most definitely.
And or I would say delete. Or he would say delete. or there was a time, I think the first thing I remember, I posted something. And then after I posted it, I sent it to him. I said, "Baby, are you comfortable with me posting this?"
But you'd already posted.
Yeah, and he's like, "But you've posted it anyway." But I knew that he was angry. And then I deleted it immediately. And there was a time when he posted something, and like, no, this one is not for social media, take it off. And he understood why.
Yeah, because I remember there was a situation not so long ago where you responded to haters that Mohale had been cold towards you, and that it had been just for the camera and for coins. You know, everybody always thinks they know your relationship better than you.
Yeah,
huh?
Sure.
And especially these terrible people that live on social media.
No, that live on Twitter.
Let's be, Twitter's the most, didn't I tell you years ago how I was not interested in that space anymore? It's full of the most rancid, unhappy, depressed, miserable, sick people who have horrible lives, right?
Yeah. I was with Anel right now at the salon, and I shared with her, I said, the only thing that's stopping me from being as vile as people on Twitter is because I'm making money off it and of the relationships that I have with partnerships that I have with whatever I'm endorsing, whatever. Mm. That's the only thing that's stopping me. The day that ends, they're going to see the real.
You're going to pull out the real.
You have no idea. So yeah, coming back to that, I think I kept quiet for too long. Mm. And sometimes you need to also, I mean, the reason why they are taking him is because of me. So to a certain extent, as a partner, you need to assure him that, you know what, I'll take a bullet for you, or I will die for you. And sometimes not every battle deserves a response, you know, or every troll deserves a reaction. But once in a while, you just need to, because they think you've been quiet, you're scared. You
know? Yeah.
So once in a while, you just need to remind them that, you know what, fuck off. You don't wake up next to me. You don't know how moody I am. You don't know how grumpy I can become. And you wouldn't even last a week.
But do you think psychologically these people are trying to make themselves better friends to you than your husband? They in some weird way, they imagine if they say things that are horrible and hurtful about Mohale, that it's going to make you like them.
No,
what's the brain chemistry?
I don't know, and I don't care. But in my mind is like they're trying to paint a picture that I should start seeing him the way they see him.
Yeah.
And the aim actually is not for them to see him the way I see him, you know.
But you also said even if that was the reasons they give, you're not complaining.
No, I've never woke up one day and I was like, oh, he doesn't love me the way I love him, and shit like that. And again, maybe if I was the same age as him and that was happening, I would probably have started believing But I guess also with age, I've been around, you know. So I know what's real and I know what's not real. And what I have, I know is real.
So what's the age difference? 21 years. Are there generational issues? I mean, like whenever a man and a woman, a man and a man, whoever gets together and there's an age gap, everyone goes, are there generational issues? Are there things that he says and does sometimes? Are there songs that he doesn't appreciate? Are there aspects of popular culture that you don't get that he refers to? Or are you two able to figure that stuff out fairly easily? Because it can become annoying.
Okay, I'm going to speak for myself.
Yeah, it can, but there's not so much.
There isn't much, honestly.
There isn't much that is really, really different, that really like gets me to say, oh my God. Because I think with him...
You never go, oh, he's so old. Yeah.
No.
Quietly, when no one's looking. when no one's looking, he goes into his private TV room.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
Look, Gareth, there are some things that obviously Sumizi does not know or does not understand as well as I do because of the different generations. But
and he had a very weird life up to... Well, he still has a weird life.
No,
you grew up... Oh, please, you grew up on stage. You grew up in front of cameras.
Yes.
Like, nobody does. That's not normal,
yeah,
Michael Jackson.
But
stop your...
But for me, honestly, it's not because I'm older. It's because it has to do with academics.
Yeah.
Or I'm not that much educated to know certain things. But in terms of street smart, I'm clued up. And it's because also our souls are reversed, I think. He's got an older soul, I've got a younger soul.
Yeah.
Like a much younger soul. Like he in our relationship, he's the older one.
Yeah.
As far as our souls are concerned, I am the younger one. I mean, look at my hair.
Sure.
Look at him. He looks conservative and stuff.
Sure.
Look at me. He's supposed to look like me. I'm supposed to look like him. How he behaves. He reads a lot. I don't read. He has a me time. I hardly have a me time. Like, Wusa, you know, quiet time. He drinks tea.
Yeah.
I drink champagne and any alcoholic beverage that you can find.
Good. I'm so glad you haven't changed.
No, I haven't changed.
I'd be so worried about
you. He's the one who wants to sober up and drinks lots of water and makes smoothies and eats healthy during the week.
Right.
And I'm always on the go. And I'm the one who goes, most of the time, funny fucking enough.
Oh, I know what he's going to say.
Funny fucking enough. I'm the one who always says, let's go out.
Yeah,
let's go
well, out. I'm not surprised.
He wants to stay indoors.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, let's go for one drink. And then we go for one drink. And I'm supposed to be the one who's like this old dopey in the club going, baby, when are you going home? When are you going home? No. He's like, when are we going home? I'm like, we're going now. One more drink. I'm like,
Gareth, I work too hard.
Okay, but you also have a serious job. Not that entertainment isn't a serious business, but your job is a lot more serious. I mean, you're talking about an economist in the making here. We're talking about someone who's been IT recruitment and all these other things. So when you're in your normal work environment, is it very hard for you to just be Mohale or are you Somizi's husband? Because people expect you to play a role too, right?
Yeah, true. Well, definitely, yes. People expect me to be Somizi's husband more than Mohale at most. I mean, when people see me, sometimes they awkwardly expect me to maybe act like him, or they would ask me, where's Somizi? Why are you not with him? What are you guys doing? So they haven't really separated me from my relationship, which I think is fine. I mean, it's not an issue. But sometimes they aren't really to separate what I do in business from my relationship and who I've become on social media and whatnot.
Right.
Which kind of sometimes makes it difficult because, you know, sometimes I'm sitting with a client, we're trying to do whatever we need to do, and they're like, oh yeah, so also, can we have a selfie? You know?
Sometimes
it makes it hard for us to really, really do the business because all they see is Mohale, social media. And
do they ever ask you to bring Somizi to events and things?
All the time.
And what is your standard answer for people?
Well, they always ask me where he is, number one.
Yeah.
And I'd say, I mean, Somizi has a job. I don't carry Somizi in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd say, oh, why are you not here with him? He's got other things to do. Or I'm here alone. Or this is, my project or whatever the case might be. But I think it's quite hard for people to really separate the two of us, or it's hard for them to see me alone without him.
Or me alone without him.
Are his work colleagues extremely boring to you?
It's not work colleagues. He's the boss, so he runs a company.
Sure.
And he's staff. I think sometimes I cross boundaries or I cross the line.
How?
For instance, make my staff drink alcohol.
I make them drink.
Oh, okay, all right.
On duty, like, okay. So we did an event together where he was responsible for the styling of the event. So his company is called Glam Troop. So they do styling and more metric dance makeovers and stuff. Mm-hmm. But also on the side, they do styling for TV productions and stuff. So we were shooting an ad for the DSTV ad that I've just done now, the new summer campaign. And then that's when I met his staff, like on a very personal, because they were styling me.
Right.
Then we did an event at FNP Stadium for the Helix Cup. So they were styling that event, doing costumes and stuff. So after that, I said, just spoil your stuff for a change. Take them out. Let's go for one drink. And then we went.
You didn't like this.
He said, no, but it's supposed to be our date, because there's a restaurant that I wanted to take him to. Then I said, man, it's just one drink and we've just done very well. Take them out. And so he says, cool. Then we went to this place in Bramfontein, hectic. But then I ordered a bottle per person of gin and vodka. Then we drank. We went in. I said, if you don't finish it, we'll take it home. But we ended up finishing everything. We were so fucked that I called our driver to come, take an Uber to come and drive us. But then we got into the car. I said, let's pass by Melville. One drink. Then we went there. The entire staff ended up sleeping at our house because they were so fucked.
No boundaries.
See?
Yeah. Mm. But he's too strict, like, no, no drinking. When was it going to the last thing that we did? And oh no, he surprised me for the first month anniversary, 1 month anniversary. So he booked this presidential suite. Blah, blah, blah.
Yes, but I heard about that, the Houghton Hotel, right?
Yes. He had his assistant to take videos and stuff. But like, I'm drinking and he's during the day, he doesn't know to drink. And I look at the assistant like, don't you want a glass? The assistant looks at him, he's scared. And so I had to ask him. So I do cross the line sometimes.
Well, look, I mean, it sounds more like you are a good influence than a bad one, and I suppose he's the same for you, because you can take the bad out of it and you can take the good out of it. Depends entirely what you think of each other. In a nice environment, on a good day, you love it.
Yes.
And even he'll admit that it's good. And on a bad day, when you're both irritable with each other, you just need to forget about that stuff, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so what's the most horrible thing you've said to him since you got married?
Since you got married, nothing.
Really?
Nah. Hey,
I've heard that mouth work in terms of nasty things. And
what?
Jesus, when you say horrible things, you
yes,
say horrible.
Yes, I do say horrible things. We haven't. You know, I think we
You don't say anything horrible to him either?
No.
That's beautiful.
No.
Good for you guys.
We haven't.
I wouldn't have believed it, but I do now.
No, we haven't. It's weird that, you know, when they say, don't think marriage fixes things. Fix them before you get married.
Right.
It's true.
Yeah.
But in our case, we're actually worse off before we got married. I mean, a month before we got married, we were not sure if we still want to get married to each other.
Really?
Yes. It was so bad.
What made it so difficult then? Were you just arguing about the wedding?
The wedding didn't even clash a bit about arrangements and stuff at all.
Okay.
It was just personality clashes where I felt he was not communicating, and he felt I was my language or my tone.
Oh, right, that sort of thing. Mm. I got you.
Yeah, and
but miscommunications.
Yeah, but we still were moving forward. But something happened. I don't know. Maybe we're scared that we are too sensitive towards each other now. We're scared to step on each other's toes. I haven't complained or argued since day one. And he hasn't either.
That's very nice. I'm relieved to hear it.
And since then, we've been calling each other baby.
Oh, that's nice. This is lovely.
On the phone.
Because you guys know as well, the problem is that there's a stereotype of what a gay marriage is.
Mm.
And that all gay marriages are open relationships.
Yes.
That all gay marriages eventually end up in huge, hateful, vicious, bitchy, nasty attacks. And there are very few that have made it through the test of time, right?
True.
And that's maybe not a gay thing. It might just be a personality thing in many of these cases. Mm-hmm. But you know what you're dealing with people, because they're expecting things to go the way that they've seen them go in their heads.
Yeah. Yes.
No, honestly, it's really been good. And not because it's been good because we're pretending it or for it to look good. It's a great feeling to waking up that you are a husband to someone and you have a life partner. And honestly, if we could keep things the way we do right now, we're going to go a long way. Honestly. Like,
that's beautiful.
We're easy. We're very easy on each other. Before the marriage, I would ask, what time are you knocking off? Why are you...
Oh, were you a little bit jealous or of his time? And
yes. Because
really?
I was used to him being in the corporate space.
Yeah.
Leaving home at 7, getting home at 5 o'clock. And now he's running his own stuff, so time is free. I'm like...
And he doesn't know when he's going to come home, and he might be working late and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you could never be with someone who wasn't ambitious.
Hell no. I told him from day two that if you're at the same place that I found you in a year later, bye-bye, I'm gone.
And I suppose the same is true for you.
Yeah.
Like if Somizi just stayed, you know, in the same lane he was in and didn't do more and keep adding as he always does to his already huge portfolio of things...
Mm.
That he does, you'd probably get bored as well.
Most definitely. I think also us being in a relationship with each other and us being both ambitious, we're able to realize other things that I was able to realize other things that he could do, which he never thought that
you'd be shocked as to how he's reignited my passion for a lot of things.
Like
my cookbook. I wouldn't have done a cookbook.
That's
because I cook
good.
For him every day. Then he woke up one day and he presented this proposal.
Wow.
And
so he's setting a fire under your backside for some of this stuff.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
And then in December, I've got a full bookings of my birthday too. He's like, woke up on this. You know how much money we can make up on your birthday? On your birthday month. You only celebrate it once or twice. You get invited to two clubs. We can do the entire month a birthday tour.
Sure.
And we can make a lot of money. And he started speaking to people, and now we've got a fully booked December. And so those are the things that I don't go, oh, my husband just presented husband just secured a 1.7 million rent, whatever.
But that's beautiful that you're both able to make each other better.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of a relationship, right?
And it's not one-sided. Yeah. Yeah. So,
no, that's magic.
So that's beautiful.
The families, no issues there?
Easy, yes.
I feel like they are, I don't know, married to each other now.
Mm. Well, that's very good. I mean, I know Somizi's family, well, some of them.
Mm.
And they're lovely people, all of them. Little bit crazy, but lovely people.
Easiest. They're,
really?
Yeah, the parents are amazing. Mohale's parents. Mohale's mother makes me laugh all the time. She's really funny.
Yeah.
Mohale's dad, like I'm now closer to him than Mohale is.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow, that's saying something.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Look,
and I always would tell Mohale that you must remember that the age gap between me and you is the same age gap between me and your father. So me and your father...
You'll get along.
No. Can leave him and have a relationship. So if he dumps me, I'm not changing...
Imagine.
No. I've promised him that if we divorce, I am not changing my surname again. I am going to your father. I'm going to remain Mutaung.
So is it Mhlongo Mutaung or the other way around?
Mutaung Mhlongo.
Okay, got you. All right, so... What is he a good lover after all this time?
Yes. Look, I'd say that I'm not a very easy person to be in a relationship with, as much as he's not a very easy person to be in a relationship with.
Nobody is, if they're honest.
Yeah, and I've had to really learn a lot and adjust a lot of things about who I am and what I believe in and what I want to do, and learn a lot about compromise. And I had to have someone really show me and teach me how these things are done and how to look at them differently. Because, I mean, I had my own beliefs and how I look at relationships, and this is how relationships are going to be. And if he maybe had given up after the second month of seeing that this is not what Mohale is, but I'd like to teach him something, then we probably wouldn't have been here, you know? Because a lot of what I believe in now and how I see things is because of how he has treated me and how he has taught me to
That's a very things. Big thing to admit. A lot of people are not happy to admit that stuff.
Mm.
They don't like to think that they can be improved on by someone else, mm. or that they can take stuff on board. A lot of people like to believe when they go into something, they're already perfect, and that all this is going to do is polish them a little bit. Mm. What you're admitting now is almost like it's an evolution. That's quite a big deal. Mm. And do you get what you want out of this relationship all the time? You have a lot of needs.
A lot. Oh, a lot. Tell me about it. I have a lot. But I always, you know, lately I pat myself on my shoulder and at the back, on my back, that I'm so proud of myself for persevering.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's now becoming the man that I want. It took...
So you're saying he's a work in progress?
It is. And it encourages me to see us in 5 years' time. He'll be everything that I want, and I believe that I'll be everything that he wants. Because also you must remember, just because I'm the expressive one, I'm the one who says I don't like this, and he's the one that
keeps it to himself. And you must have to pull it out of him.
His body language, and then I pray, but he's slowly getting there, where he goes, this doesn't make me happy, this doesn't make me happy, this makes me happy. I am too romantic. There was a time where he wanted, actually a month after we dated, he wanted to end the relationship because he felt that he was never going to match up to my romance.
Oh,
side.
But you said just now, and you obviously still doing it, that every month you celebrate an anniversary in some way. Mm. Like you did the 100 roses after the first 100 hours.
Yeah.
Then you did the hotel penthouse suite at the hotel. That's beautiful.
And that's why it blew me away, because I'm like, who's this person?
You really had no idea.
I was so pissed off because I was looking forward to this meeting. He said it's a meeting for the cookbook. And it made sense at the hotel. Maybe he's partnering because he's been speaking to a lot of sponsors and stuff, potential sponsors. And I'm thinking maybe the hotel, I've never even heard of this hotel.
Mm.
I'm thinking maybe this hotel is going to be in partnership with us. We're going to shoot the cookbook thing there. And then, boom, that happened. So, and it I'm glad, like when that happened, I was like, I told him every 10 seconds, you have outdone yourself. Like, you can fuck up for the next three times. I will forgive you immediately because of that day. But so just as much as he had to really do a lot of working to meet my needs,
mm-hmm.
I have also done the same.
For him.
Yeah.
You got important stuff going on that phone?
I thought it's Ula. So I have also had to find ways of, like, for instance, I used to react to anything and everything. Mm. And I've found ways of not reacting. You know, sometimes just keep quiet and breathe in. And not everything. We tend to create a lot of stuff in our minds that are not actually what they seem to be. For example, on that day again, I woke up very upset at him. And I was so pissed off. Even that day, I was going to... After the meeting, I was going to call him on the side and cack on him. And like, this is fucked up. You know, I was mad because when I came back from Idols, he did not cook.
Oh, and you're hungry and you're irritable.
And I'm hungry, and he knows that I'm hungry. Usually, I would cook before I leave, but I did not cook. He was sleeping the whole day. We were hungover. No, we were tired.
Mm.
And he was sleeping the whole day. I walked in, there's no food. And I go upstairs. He's still sleeping, same position that I left him. Then I called Uber Eats. Food was delivered. I ate, and the remainder I hid it. So yeah. That even if he's hungry, the bastard must
suffer.
Yeah, must starve. Then I woke up in the morning. I was not happy. I was going to address that issue. I don't understand why you did not cook or you did not order food. Then imagine if I had addressed it. Then I was angry that he did not even say happy anniversary in the morning.
Meanwhile, he was planning this whole thing.
So you see, it works also not to just breathe in.
But they say often that people who are happy look for little things that they can be unhappy about, just so they can find something to moan about.
Yeah. Mm.
And a lot of people like to moan. I mean, you two are quite positive people.
Mm.
I certainly can say that for you. You're not a negative guy. You don't go through life complaining or finding reasons to be angry. But there are people who do.
Mm.
And often a lot of relationships and marriages break down because of those small things that build up over time. And that the one just every now and then does something just to irritate the other one.
Mm.
And then after 10 of those, someone explodes.
Yeah.
And then there's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of relationship you obviously don't want.
Yeah. So you see, I've learned and it worked, you know, because I kept quiet until the right time. And I'm like, there was no need. Shame, he was planning A, B, C, and D.
That's why he was tired. So how's your daughter?
She's fine.
Is she good?
Yeah. I'm not happy with her right now.
Because why?
She's not answering my phone because... she's supposed to go do groceries with my mom. So she's got one of my cards.
Okay.
That stays with her. So also if they need money at home.
Yes.
She's almost always available to go to groceries. She was supposed to do groceries with her, and my mom is mad now that she's been waiting for her and she's not answering. And so today they're launching her biopic that she did. She's playing the young Lebo Mathosa.
Very good. Yes, I heard about this.
Let me show you a picture.
That is superb. Didn't she also get a whole lot of shit from people about that?
Yeah, she did.
Now, I saw all of that. That must annoy you as well. Because
I did step in as well. Step in. And I told her not to ever apologize for being my daughter.
Of course not.
Yeah.
Is this that bullshit open the industry stuff?
Yeah, she got the role because of that. And so what? Even if it was, which is not, but even if it was, so what? Do you think Patrice Motsepe's son would still walk into the same queue when we board a flight as everyone else? They would call him privately because his daddy's private jets are parked there.
Exactly.
So he must now say, I'm going to feel bad because these people are going to... No, he must... It's fast track.
But what a role, huh? Lebo Mathosa.
I want to show you a picture. You're going to die.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
So I always remind her, don't ever, for once, apologize for being my daughter.
Mm.
Don't.
Or for taking an opportunity that comes your way.
Yes, exactly.
You know what this industry is like.
And
if you don't take those opportunities, you will be forgotten.
Yes. Yeah. And also... Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Let's say 30%...
This is a stepdad stepping in. You see that?
Yeah. Let's say 30% of the reason why she got the role was her talent.
Sure.
Let's say 10% was luck. And let's say 60% of it was because she's my daughter. Because they knew she's my daughter. So be it. If it means... her being in the movie is going to give the movie talkability. If they'd had a Nombulelo Qobashe from Fuller South, we wouldn't be even talking about this biopic today.
So it's true.
Yeah, it's a two-way stream. It's beneficial for the channel.
Yeah.
If her being in the movie is beneficial for the channel, it's commercial. They need to make money at the end of the day. That's why we always complain that why don't they hire Gareth to play Mandela and they hire... so-and-so to play Mandela. They hire Idris Elba. Idris Elba is bankable internationally.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
You could have Mandela's accent.
But we had this when they made that one Mandela movie and everybody was complaining.
Look at this picture.
Oh, man. Oh, my God. It looks just like Lebo.
Exactly.
That's spectacular.
Exactly. So.
Oh, that's beautiful.
What the fudge?
How's her mom? Because there was that horrible accident, right?
She's fine now.
I mean, a lot of people wouldn't have done what you did. You were there every step of the way. You really went to a lot of trouble to make sure that she was looked after.
Yeah.
And, you know, for many people, and I know that you have a good relationship with your daughter and you have a good relationship with her mother, but a lot of people would have said, it's the ex, please, who cares, you know?
I think a lot of people forget that at the end of the day, that's your daughter's mother.
Mm-hmm.
So if she's hurt, your daughter is hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Your daughter is going through pain. First of all, let's start there. But also at the same time, she is your relative.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's your relative, whether you like it or not, whether she gets married and you get married, she is related to you. You share blood. So at the end of the day, we are family, you know, and it doesn't matter whether we exes or how we broke up or whatever happened. It does not matter. Blood should always be thicker than water.
Let's talk about this wedding for a second, because it was a spectacular wedding. There were pictures all over the place. No, but it's amazing, because I know you've got another one that you're planning.
Yes.
I don't know how far along those plans are. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've managed to lay out any of the detail. But this was a huge wedding. We had Pearl Tusi, Casper Nyovest, Bonang was there. By the way, I'm so pleased you guys are back in the friendship. So nice. Because really, I mean, you're also both nice people. Why would you be fighting about bullshit? It's just so unnecessary, you know? And also, I think, like you said right at the start of this, as you get older, you realize, like, I don't need to have issues with people. How difficult is it for you to be able to have relationships with his fans?
With his fans?
I mean, they obviously want you to like them as much as they like him.
Yes.
But is it hard for you to share... Like, because he'll go out, and even though you are now well known too in your own right, he'll go out and people will interrupt your dinner, or they'll interrupt you while you're having a private moment together. And this can be very difficult for the person who is not the celebrity in a relationship.
Yeah, I think it used to bother me in the beginning of the relationship when, you know, I didn't really understand why would... a person see us having a conversation and want to come in and bother us and want pictures and so forth. But as we went along in the relationship, I was able to understand how these things work, and that these people, when they see him, they don't think. It's a matter of, let me do this now. It's a once in a lifetime.
Well, he's an accessory to their photograph, and you're an accessory to him in their mind.
Yes.
So you can't get offended, and you can't take it personally, right?
At all. So yeah, I've just, you know, learned to be like, it is what it is, it happens. I just don't like it when they ask me to take pictures of them.
Do you find that a little bit insulting?
Yeah,
for me, like the husband has to take the picture of...
No, that's rude. I also refuse.
Really?
It's rude. You've got a phone that has a selfie mode, so why don't you use it?
I'm interested in what the biggest thing is you've said no to, that you might regret a little bit. Is there any big endorsement, sponsorship, TV deal, idea that you just said no to? And maybe you don't regret it. Maybe you think it was a very good decision.
I've been blessed to be able to say no with conviction and
you never regret it.
And look back and I go, whew, the power of no. I've been so grateful. I can count a few. I mean, friends like these. I still look back. I got in Skechers the sneakers endorsement. You know, and the offer was good, but the brand alignment was not great. You know, you need to remember that these things live with you forever.
Yeah.
And also how it's going to affect potential bigger endorsements. You must think, don't be in a rush to just jump into stuff, because that one small thing, no matter how big it seems at the moment, believe in your future that, no, this doesn't feel right. You know when it feels right, you know. And everything that I've done right now, I felt right about it, and I've never had any endorsement that's less than 3 years.
So when you're busy, do you ever go to the shows?
All the time.
Yeah.
No, all the time.
All the time.
I insist, like, I would love... I've never been in a show once or twice, and it doesn't feel right. I prefer it that way. But also he loves showing support. But it's funny when it has to be the other way around, because I want to support him. But then again, based on the personality that I am, I don't want to steal his shine.
It becomes the show's about you.
Yes.
Then. Yeah, I don't see.
We haven't reached a point where it's really Jay-Z and Beyonce. Even Jay-Z now is like, Beyonce don't come. Beyonce don't come. You know, I mean, I can imagine the day Jay-Z gets a star on this thing. What's it? The Hollywood
Walk of Fame.
And then Beyonce come, and the channels will go, Beyonce, Beyonce,
They're ignoring him.
So I want to, and when I do, I step like as far back as I can. Either stay in the car as long as he knows that I'm there, until he's done what he's doing, then I'm good.
Yeah, I think that that's really beautiful, because he's thinking about you. He's not thinking about himself.
Yes.
And most people in any situation, they only think about themselves.
Yes, all the time.
Are you in any way threatened by the fact that he has such experience in this industry, that he can handle so many situations, and if he left you in front of the cameras alone, that you wouldn't know what to do? And also just because of a lack of experience, not because you're not capable.
Yeah. Well, not really. I mean,
because I can ask him anything, right? I mean, we've had discussions before where Somizi has made me laugh so much that I was crying.
Yeah.
And he'll admit to personal stuff that long before this was something fashionable people used to do, he would do it, right? Yes. I remember us having like an hour and a half conversation here once where he just let it all hang out.
Yeah.
And that's not everybody's forte. It's not everybody's ability.
True.
He has this innate ability to share things and make it funny and make it really relatable. Lovable. Mm-hmm. And sometimes for the rest of us, when he's around, there's either a bit of pressure that you have to be the same, which is impossible, or that you might make a fool of yourself if you try and do the same thing.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you.
We were talking about you. You don't have to be. Okay.
I think the most important thing that I've learned being in the relationship and the direction in which the relationship has taken, I've learned to always be myself, and you know, not try to do what he does or not try to speak like he does. Or I mean, we were together on his reality show.
Yeah.
And I didn't try to do whatever that he does or speak the way that he does, because that would take away a lot of energy from me, because I'm doing something which I'm not comfortable with, you know. But
and then you're not you, you're playing a role.
I'm playing a role. But also he has taught me quite a lot about the industry and how to take it and how to handle it, and that has really just helped me.
Now, what is the stuff that you've been talking about, Somizi, where you've been saying that, you know, I mean, mental health is something very few people in this country take seriously, and it's a big problem. Mm. It's a big problem in the black communities. It's a big problem among men. It is something that very few people talk about. But, I mean, if anything, if you have mental health issues, and don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to be insulting, but if there's anything, there's mania with you. It's not... Is it more serious than that?
I wouldn't take it light.
I mean, you're manic.
Yes.
I'm a bit manic.
Yeah.
But we're not problem children.
No, we're not. But I really went through a very terrible phase. And that's why also I'm like, when people say Mohale doesn't love me, if he had stayed through that period, and I didn't even know myself that I was going through depression.
Were you depressed?
I was extremely depressed. Extremely depressed.
Were you on medication?
No. I didn't know it in the beginning stages, you know. I just thought I was moody and I would feel sad. Nothing would make me happy.
And tired?
And tired, drained, including him. Like, I would complain about everything and anything.
Who helped you connect that this was depression?
My manager recommended that I go see a therapist. Yeah. Then I did go. Then he diagnosed me with clinical depression.
Really?
Yeah. And for me, the main reason for depression was fame. It was... I've always been famous as a kid, but it was just normal. I mean, fame... When you're famous and you can still... I think the minute you start losing yourself and your life and your privacy, you're gone. I can imagine the levels of Beyoncé's and Michael Jackson, for instance.
Was a half a human because
when they've placed you so high that you can't even pick your nose, you're gone. When you can't even walk, going to a funeral or go to even a family gathering and you can be yourself, you are gone. So I got to that level, and I think idols triggered that. Idols, triggered, just magnified everything for me. And it came with a lot of benefits, but it also came with a lot of
negatives.
Negatives, to a point where it was too much. Too much to a point where it was overwhelming. And I would walk into a concert and everybody would go crazy. I mean, I'm not the only MC that travels with bodyguards and has an entourage, you know, glam squad, makeup artist, hairstylist, stylist and manager and road manager. Like, who does? I mean, MC just, hey, we're booking you, just come and MC,
sure,
just drive yourself. I used to drive myself.
Yeah.
And who's the stage manager? Get the mic. And it went so big that when Somizi arrives, you'd think it's the main act. And my bookings are based on that, like, I get put as the main attraction, you know?
Right.
Then it overwhelms me. You walk into the stadium, everybody goes crazy. And then what do they call it? You know, people who take drugs and then the following day...
Oh, the downer, the come down.
There's a word for it.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, there's a word for it. Then you hit that...
So this was happening. I mean, I knew you at this stage too, but I had no idea because you've grown up with fame, and if you say fame could be the reason for this, then you almost got used to it. So you built up a resistance to fame.
Yeah.
And you built up this almost like a front where you...
Or the withdrawal
symptoms. Okay. So you built up almost this front where you could cope.
Yeah.
And you were coping, and you probably could have carried on coping.
Absolutely.
But you wouldn't have been happy.
It was mild. And it was reasonable.
You could live with it, those alcoholics who they function. They can go to work.
Yeah.
They can do their
thing. You have one drink every day, but just one drink.
But I want to get into this fame thing because you've experienced what very few people in this country experience. Mm. There are only a few people who've ever got to that level of fame in South Africa, and you know that, for better or for worse, there are people who have it much more in degrees in America or anywhere else. Here's the problem, though. In this country, there's a kind of a proximity to celebrity that you don't get anywhere else.
Yeah.
You still go to the shops. You still do ordinary things. You go to a public place for this, for that, for the other. And in America, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Right? In America,
but
those people are isolated almost.
Even with us, we can't go on our own. I mean, we have to hire security to go to Great Dane, for instance.
You're joking.
Yeah.
But then you can't see your friends unless you have them at your house.
Yeah, or unless I say to security, that guy is with us.
Okay.
We can't just pack and go to a club. I mean, there's a club that we go to in Melville. And all of a sudden now we have security standing next to us.
Hmm.
And now that we married and we know, it's become worse, like extremely worse. And we once tried it without security that day when I took his stuff. The people that works for him, we went on our own, and again we were reminded that we can't do it anymore because we're nearly involved in two fights.
Does that make you sad?
It does. I was very sad,
and
I mean, we really got into a physical fight.
Does it make you sad for both of you, or for him especially, because he hasn't experienced this, like, that normal life to the degree that you had before?
Yeah, for the both of us. I mean, When someone, like, blatantly come in front of your face with a camera and just flashes it, like, and then walks away.
And you're never allowed to get angry.
Yeah. No, you're not allowed. And we got angry that day. And that's when I said, you see, if we had security, we would have avoided this. So it does. So my depression also stemmed from that. You know, that I don't have a life. I mean, even with my family, like, what killed me most was when we'd been in Swaziland.
Yeah.
With our family visiting our sister in Swaziland, and in the house we don't go out, and then there'll be cousins
taking pictures,
taking videos.
Oh my God!
Of everything. And
are you protective of him, Mohale?
Of
him when this starts to happen? Do you tell people put your cameras away?
Yeah, I'm very vigilant, and I'm the first to see that. Okay, there's a camera there. Oh no, babe, turn around, face the side.
Or don't look
that side. Because, apart from the fact that I'm taller, than him.
Right. So you can see past. You can see what else is going on.
But yeah, I am very, very.
Are you at all aware of any, you know, mental health issues that you might have as a result of perhaps circumstances, or are there other people in your life that you can rely on if he's not around and he's busy? Are you doing things?
Mental issues, not really, but
he's very stable, huh?
I took medication once. I was like, hell, fucking no! This thing, this thing makes you it makes you become unrealistic, you really become everything is unrealistic. Like, they could call you and tell you your mother lost one leg, and you say, does she still have the left one? Wow, that's great, that's great, that's amazing, you know, count your blessings, you know, you don't even go to,
you don't need any of this stuff, but you were able to help him, like, deal with it?
Yes, especially after I knew that, because in the beginning, I could tell that something was off, but I couldn't really tell what it was. But after I found out that, okay, he's diagnosed with clinical depression, you know, I had to become very sensitive and be able to realize that even when such things happen, you know, it's because of the depression. It's not that he's trying to be nasty to me or, you know, we just need to nurse the process.
Well, it's so strange that the normal isn't that people have various mental health issues, because they say that, you know, it's what, one in every three people or whatever. But the fact is, if it's that widespread, we shouldn't expect everyone to be totally balanced and neither on the depressed or nor the manic scale any of the time. Mm. It's almost like we should know that that's what you're going to deal with as people interacting with each other, right? Yes. All right, so we've got another wedding on the way. This is going to be very exciting. Who are you inviting and who are you not inviting? Are there any people that you absolutely don't want there?
Well, some of the people that were at the traditional wedding.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Are coming to the white wedding.
Did they behave badly?
No.
Not
or did
really.
You just decide they weren't deserving?
No. We cut. Yeah, maybe that. So for our traditional wedding, we're supposed to have 350 guests.
Yes.
We ended up with 480.
Hmm.
Sure.
People brought people?
No.
These are gate crashes, or you just fault. Kept adding?
No, we kept adding.
Mm.
The security was so tight, like so super super tight, like people parked 5 kilometers away from the actual and it was at Mohale's house at the soccer pitch next to Mohale's house, so they parked like 5 kilometers away. They were shuttled, no cars were allowed to park
inside,
so they parked there, shuttled in, topped off. Just like that.
You know what the big celebrity weddings in LA and New York do now is they force people to put their phones into a little pouch that seals.
We're coming there. We're coming there.
Okay, let's hear.
You have no idea.
Go on.
So then it was very tight. So, but it was our fault that it came to 480. We kept on adding without noticing that it's piling up. Then that's how we ended. So for our white wedding, it's 200 guests.
Finished.
100 his side, 100 my side.
Okay.
If we're not even going over by one person.
No.
Beautiful.
Not by one. Because you also, in the cost implications in terms of food.
Yeah.
Enormous.
Yo. In terms of.
And is he the accountant here?
Yeah, he's the one. He's the book person. I mean, I just go, let's go. And then we realize, so much money. So,
yeah, Mohale, do you put the screws on sometimes and say, it's enough, it's too much
definitely.
Now?
Definitely. 150%.
Joint bank account?
No.
Very important question.
But, technically, we now have a joint.
Yes.
So you have your own accounts, but you have one together as well?
Not officially.
Oh.
It's not on paper.
It's not on paper.
But it's there.
It's actually his account, but he's got like three. You've got three bank accounts, eh?
Yes.
So one of his accounts now we use it for our. We call it our kitty.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, for our holidays.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a joint savings account.
Yeah. Yes. So we put money there for our holidays.
You put in the same amount?
Whatever. So whatever gigs it does, certain gigs we say that's for the kitty.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. Yes. And then we tell it doesn't even come to us. We tell the client to pay it into that account.
Into that
very
account.
Good.
Yeah.
So you don't even have to think about it. Mm-hmm. And then one day you look at that account and you go, ah.
Already we're going, ah.
Babe, it's time.
Now we're going, ah. We're leaving on.
Where are you going?
Monday. Paris. Sunday.
Paris. Monday. Now you got engaged.
Sunday.
The 10th, no.
It's coming up, yeah.
The 10th.
This weekend.
It's on Sunday.
Yeah, it's Sunday.
We're leaving Sunday after
You're leaving
Idols.
Sunday for Paris.
After Idols. Mm.
So that was where you got engaged.
Yes, we're going there.
Oh, are you going to any of the places that you were at last time?
No, we're just
going
to look at the lock that is still there and then you come back.
You're going to find it. You hope they haven't cut it off. Huh?
Yeah.
Is it on that bridge?
Yeah.
Yes.
Over the Seine?
Yeah.
Oh, that's magnificent.
It is.
All right. Is he a big spender on holidays?
Very much, where I sometimes get very irritated.
I was offended in Italy.
We went to Italy 2 months ago.
Yes.
And he was just spending and spending.
On what?
On bags and
right.
shoes.
He's always had a thing with bags. Mm. I can vouch for this.
But the thing is, it defeats the purpose. So we went to Rome. Mm-hmm. So our itinerary was Rome, Amalfi Coast, and Venice.
I was there as well.
Great.
Same time almost.
So we wake up one day and said, let's go to Milan.
Beautiful.
It wasn't part of the plan. So we decided we go to Milan. We get to Milan.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's the point of coming to Milan and not shop?
Mm-hmm. So you went high street fashion shopping?
Yes. You need to have something that I bought it in Milan, even if it's a toothpick.
Sure.
And we first started at Christian Louboutin. He says, no, I don't have a size. I'm fine. Okay. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna let this one go. I buy for myself. Then we get to Gucci. He goes, I force him to try stuff. He goes, no, I'm fine. And I start to feel like, did I offend him about something? Okay. Then we went to Louis Vuitton. Still, I forced him. I said, try this shoe. I took the orange one. I said, take the navy blue one. We're going to wait at our wedding. He says, no, I'm good.
You didn't buy anything?
You're on our way back. I was so pissed.
I didn't.
Nothing.
Nothing.
In Milan, nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
It's like you're saying you're almost the inverted personality of each other.
Sure. Nothing. Then we left, went back to Rome, and then only in Venice that was like, okay, now I can.
Did you splash out a little bit?
Get something, yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Okay, well, good for you. You've got to learn to spend if you're going to roll with Sumizi.
Yeah, I always tell him that money can be recovered, time can't.
You know how important that is?
Yeah.
Like, that is the best realization in the world. Someone a while ago was saying to me, oh, she really wants to come, but she hasn't got, you know, this and that. And I said to her, I'll sort it out. I want to see you, so come.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Why must people argue about this stuff?
Exactly.
It's ridiculous.
So, just to, before I forget.
Yeah, go on.
When are we finishing?
We're finished now.
Okay. So, about our wedding.
Yes, tell me.
So the rule is.
Yeah.
Now it just gives us an idea. That's a nice idea.
No, you got to get these pouches, and they use them at the theaters in New York now as well.
Oh. What do they do?
They say put them in a pouch, and then it has a little button that you can't undo.
Yeah.
Until after the performance, they use almost like those things they put on clothes in the shops, and then they undo the pins.
Yeah.
And you can only undo it at the door of the theater.
Do they have
on your
them
way
in South
out.
Africa?
Well, you've got to find out. You must bring
them
in.
Okay, so our rule for our white wedding, because there's a TV special.
Oh, okay.
So nothing can be posted.
No leaks.
Zero.
Zero. So our guests, we're going to have a phone booth. Not phone booth, phone locker room type of thing.
Oh, right. Good. And I hand them in.
Yes.
So you hand them in probably by the gate.
Right.
You hand your phone in. You lock. You put your key.
Right.
In your thingy, then you're allowed to.
So no one's going to be able to smuggle in a phone?
No one.
At all.
You don't think someone will bring a second phone in their bag?
They must just pray they're not going to be found.
Ooh.
They must just pray.
Make them sign something.
Yeah.
Make them sign something.
Yeah, that's actually
an invite can go out with a.
Well, else, I'm telling you now, just get these pouches.
Yeah, and we're going to let them know in advance, so you must know that.
Should you accept this?
Should
you
accept this?
Right.
This is going to happen.
Well, guys, I hope that you have 100 years of happy marriage.
Thank you.
You're a beautiful couple. You're an inspiration to South Africa. You are both lovely, happy, positive individuals who are doing extremely well in your lives. I hope that continues forever as well.
Thank you,
guys.
And only good things.
And we wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you.
Your business, in your
thank you
potential relationship.
Let's see what happens.
In everything.
Thank you. I love you both. You're very good people.
Love you. Thank you.
Somizi, what a pleasure to see you. Mohale, lovely to see you both. The Mhlongo Motaungs, ladies
yes!
and gentlemen.
Yes! That beautiful. Sounds nice.
Thank you.
CliffCentral.com.